KQ4DJW, KQ4AKE.
KQ4AKE, W4DJW. Hey, Wayne.
Tonight.
I'm doing good. I saw your email. I didn't read all of it. I read part of it, but I haven't finished all of it.
Need to pare down the content of that thing a little bit and get it a little more reasonable. I got started on it and, like I tend to do sometimes, ended up writing a dissertation.
Or it could be broken down into sections and do different sections at different points in time. That may not be a bad idea.
Like on different nights, break it up that way?
Affirmative, because you don't want to go too long. It is good to have something in there, but you don't want to keep it keyed up. You don't want to keep the repeater keyed up too long. You do want to give breaks for people to check in and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to go through that again and cut out some of the stuff that is not really, you know, necessary or whatever, doesn't pertain to the final product or whatever. So let me go through it, try to put it more in an outline form and cut it down some and see if I can get it down to, like, you know, 10 minutes or something.
Well, I wouldn't lose any of the content because it's really good content. I'd keep that and maybe go over that. And when people have questions, right, that might be good to have handy to keep the responses consistent.
Well, let me take another cut at it and see if I can make it a little shorter. It's like I say, it got kind of long on its own, and it definitely doesn't need to be that long.
Hey, Andy. No, it's about solar energy. So Johnny's done some things on batteries and generators and stuff like that. Wayne's got a lot of experience with solar. And I've learned a lot from just talking to him on my trips when I'm on the road trips. So he's going to present some information in the Rack 2 portion of the net on solar panels, charging, the charge controllers, that kind of stuff.
I didn't know I heard y'all talking like this about that. Well, tell me, some of y'all here that's real familiar with that, the other parties there, they say a lot of the solar panels come from China. Who actually builds the best solar panels anyway?
Go ahead, Wayne. There you go.
This is KQ4AKE. Yeah, first off, Dave, I'm not an expert on solar systems or solar power stuff. You know, I kind of looked into it and designed and built one. You know, my background is kind of electrical engineering, so stuff's not foreign to me. But everything I've learned about solar panels has pretty much been like in the last couple of years. And as far as who makes the best solar panels, that's kind of like who makes the best cars. You know, it depends on what you want and what year it is and all that kind of stuff. There's some, you know, like Renogy makes really good equipment, but it's pretty pricey. And the panels I'm using came from Harbor Freight, and from what I can tell, they work great, and they're pretty cheap. So, you know, it kind of depends on what you want and where you're planning to put them in and all that kind of thing.
Well, see, I just heard you two talking. I didn't know it was about solar stuff. The most familiar I am with solar stuff is calculators and small things like that, but I don't care to bring politics on here, right here, like some have done, but some have said, though, that getting stuff from China that's solar, like the panels, is in the long run going to hurt us. Now, I don't know anything about this other than what I've heard and seen.
W4DJW, well, I wouldn't put too much stock in that right now. I think people look for something to talk about, Andy, from time to time, and that just kind of comes up, and that's kind of a natural tendency to go in that direction. But, you know, hopefully if all this political stuff can settle down and people can get back to normal and world trade can start back up and, you know, nothing goes nuclear, then everything will be right and we'll get back to normal, which is beneficial for everybody in the world. So I wouldn't put much stock in that right now, Andy. It could come to that, but I don't think we're there yet.
I hope not. Like I said, if I was in person, but not you, we said before about Glenn that time, this ain't the place for it, but I just have reservations about some certain things. Go ahead, Doug Stacey.
This is Wayne, KQ4, AKE in Simpsonville. Yeah, I think some solar panels are made in China. I'm not sure where else they're made. I've only looked at a handful of them that I've considered buying to use. And one of the things I will say is, you know, and one of the points I was going to make in my little talk is, you know, I bought a lot of stuff off of Amazon, connectors and switches and stuff like that, and most of it's made in China. And I have used industrial quality stuff before, you know, terminators and connectors and all that. And a lot of the stuff on Amazon is really not great quality. And you would think it wouldn't make that much difference, but I had things like connectors getting hot and coming loose and switches that were rated for 20 amps getting really hot at 10 amps. So, yeah, next time around when I build one, it will be more industrial quality stuff. Not so much dependent on where it's made, but just industrial quality, you know, equipment.
I'm still learning about all this. It's just that, you know, small applications, marvelous, great. Matter of fact, and I'm sure Dave remembers KD4USA, who used to live up there in Jackson County. He had a solar set up and a wind generator both, and from the way he talked back then, he had it doing pretty good. You remember that, Dave?
Yeah, I remember him. He's over in the Philippines now. I think his daughter set him up with a lady from the Philippines, and he went over there, and I think he lives there now. But he will be missed. KD4USA, yep. And he did. He was a hermit that just built stuff all the time. And he had him a cannon that he would fire across the valley from one mountain to another. a real cannon. And I remember that wind generator that he had. And I remember him talking about that. I think the blade wasn't but about 4 feet in diameter, and it generated quite a good bit of power. But he lived up there on the side of the mountain too, where the wind's always blowing up one side of the mountain and down the other side. So he had a constant source of wind. And what Wayne was saying, Andy, about those connectors, you can go to places like Mouser or DigiKey, and they have different, like on Amazon, they just sell you stuff. It's just stuff, right? They put ratings on there, but the sellers are questionable. I mean, if you just need to put something together really quick to use it one or two times and make sure that it, you know, it works, the design is going to be solid, it's okay to get stuff off Amazon. But if you want to put something together that's going to last for 20 years, you have to go buy the industrial stuff off DigiKey or something like that. That's just totally different. And like Wayne was saying, you really don't care where it came from as long as it's the quality that you need to meet the design specifications that's going to last a long, long time. And the cheap stuff you get off Amazon or you get in those walk-in stores or you get at the jockey lot, that's not really what that's made for. It's made to be cheap and quick to market. Go ahead, Wayne, W4DJW.
Or AKE, just as an example of that, you know, on Amazon, you can buy a terminal lug kit, you know, where you stick the wire in and crimp it, and it goes on a, you know, quarter-inch bolt or something like that for, you know, pretty good-sized wires, you know, number four cable or number two or whatever. And you know, on Amazon, you can get a kit of, like, 50 of those terminal lugs for, like, $12. Well, if you go down to an industrial electrical place and go to buy, like, T&B terminal lugs that size, they're, like, $3 and $4 a piece. So there's a big difference in price, and when you put them next to each other, there's a big difference in the amount of metal in those things and how they're made. So, yeah, that was one of my lessons learned that I've got noted down is next time around, better quality stuff.
Okay, I'm for LCI, but when it comes to all this, there's still plenty I don't know, and I'll go ahead and I'll drop back out and go back just to listen for the time being. Maybe I can learn more here. KI4LCI, go ahead, Dave, and you two carry on, and if I...
All right, Andy, and yeah, you'll be hearing that come up on the net in the not too distant future. And Wayne, I don't know when the next time I call it is. I think it was supposed to be Friday, but I had to swap places with Larry, so I think he's going to be this Friday. So that would make mine, if it's not the last Saturday, would be the 27th, I think, would be my next time. Just so that you know when I'm going to be calling it next.
27th is this Saturday. Yeah, that would work fine. That'll give me time to kind of get my thoughts together and, you know, hopefully I won't come across as having too much mic fright like you called it the other day, because it's a little bit uncomfortable for me, but we'll go ahead and do it anyhow, and, you know, I'll get through it one way or the other. But, yeah, that'll give me time to kind of streamline this a little bit, figure out exactly what I want to say and put something together.
And maybe maybe we can take notes, and when people ask questions, what their key interest is, instead of throwing – that's a lot of good content. You don't want to throw it away, right? Then have, you know, breakout sessions of places where people are – their curiosity is really high. Because you never know where that's going to be, and then the quantity of text that you have would be really good, because that would get down in the details and answer their questions. W4DJW.
Good, I can go in that direction and try to save some of the details for people's questions and stuff. That sounds like a good idea. So we'll do that. And I'll try to get it down to, you know, where the main part of it's like 10 minutes or something. Does that sound about right to you, like around 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, that's good. And just be aware that it could double that or could quadruple that, right? If people are really interested and they're really asking questions, I just kind of go along with it. If somebody's, unless something else is going on and I have to break away sooner than expected, I just kind of hang in there with it. If people are interested, go for it. If you see the interest dropping off pretty quick, then go ahead and terminate it and go on to the next one. That kind of a thing. Play it by ear. There's no hardened rule on it. So 10 minutes would be fine to start with, but don't be disappointed if it goes up to 30 minutes, you know, or 20 minutes. Hey, Gene, go ahead.
I
think it's going to be Saturday, Gene. I think it'll be Saturday. It'll be about solar. Different components with solar and what they do and how to do them. And little things that you may think would work one way, but it's not as intuitive as it seems like it would be. It will save you money in the long run.
You say Saturday, I'm assuming you're talking about the net. It's 2100.
Yes, that's affirmative.
Roger. Thanks a million. That's all I had, and I appreciate it. That'd be 4FHJ.
No problem, Gene. Looking forward to it on Saturday. Go ahead, Wayne, W4DJW.
That sounds good. I'll plan to do that, and if I got any questions in the meantime, you know, I'll get in touch with you, and when we're doing this, if I get off track or whatever, don't hesitate to jump in and put the train back on the tracks or whatever. So, you know, like I said, it's first time doing this, so any advice, so whether it's before, after, or during, is more than welcome. This is KQ4AKE.
All right, just remember there's no hard and fast rules. Just have fun with it. All right, that's the thing about ham radio. You can do it, and you're not getting paid to do it, so you don't have to worry about messing up or anything like that. Just have fun. If you have fun, other people are most likely having fun, too. Talk to you later. KQ4AKE, W4DJW, clear.
KC4EZN with a short comment.
Hey, Harry, go ahead.
Back when I worked, we did a project in China, and then my son-in-law has been involved in the solar industry in California for close to 20 years, and going back to what Wayne said, in a little bit different terms, know your supplier. That was the wisdom that we were given when we went to China, in that you didn't go with brand names and things like that. You actually knew who was making your stuff, and that was how you qualified, because different companies make things at different quality levels, I guess is the polite way of saying it. But anyway, that's my comment, and it fits in with what Wayne was saying there. Just know who you're getting your stuff from, I think is the best way to say that. Be curious to listen to some of that, KC4EZN clear.
Well, appreciate you throwing that out there, Harry, and that's I can second that. I fly radio control airplanes, and you have to have a transmitter in your hand and a receiver in the airplane when you're flying. And I've gone through many different radio manufacturers. I started out with Cox back in the 70s, right, when it was you have one stick and it bumps a escapement that turns the rudder from one way to another. And that's all you had, right? So to turn right, and if you were going straight, you might have to hit a left before you hit a center, then you hit a right. But over the years, they've gone from being made in the United States to being made in Japan, to be made in China, to be made back in the United States again. And the leader has gone from country to country. And right now, for radio-controlled airplanes, the leader for the best radio you can get, and it's not the one that you pay the most money for, comes out of China. And there's nothing better than that radio. It's called a Free Sky. And the second best one is made in America. So you're absolutely right. Know the manufacturer, and beware, because it does change. As time goes on, companies change CEOs, and quality may go up or may go down. So I agree with you completely there, Harry. Anyway, looking forward to it on Saturday myself. KC4EZN, W4DJW, clear.
3CN, I think it was, Harry. Good to speak to you tonight. This is Wayne, KQ4AKE in Simpsonville. And looking forward to doing this. And, yeah, you're right about knowing your supplier for sure. That means a lot. So, at any rate, I'm going to hang it up for tonight. This is KQ4AKE, and I'll be clear after your final if you're still there.
Hello, this is KC4EZN. Name here is Harry. C is a KQ. You're relatively new. But since you're an A, you're not real new. So anyway, well, welcome and good to have you around. I share some of Andy's feelings, but again, I work for BASF, which is International Chemical Company, and they've been doing business in China for over 100 years. Now, I think what it was, they were selling blue dye, so kind of have to learn to get along, and again, just know who you're dealing with, and that sort of applies wherever you're at. I know when I start looking for things up here in Asheville, I talk around to two or three different folks and get different opinions, because just, you know, going through, I don't know what the equivalent to the Yellow Pages are now, but that's not necessary. I much prefer to go with somebody that had a good experience, and also you get the ability to see what somebody else has done. So anyway, look forward to hearing some of this stuff. I'm not sold on any of the future salvations for the planet, but I think somewhere in that mix there's some good stuff that is going to eventually make it, and none of it's going to be where we think it was. I hope we'll live long enough to see how it turns out, but that's going to be good to listen to, I think. Appreciate what you're doing there. KC4EZN, have a good weekend, and I will be clear.
KK4JBQ. Hello, Andy.
You had some solar stuff there? Well, you heard what was said a while ago. I assume you did. We're going to hear more about it Saturday evening during the rag shoot part of the night.
Good memory for a lot of things, Andy. Yes, once upon a time I may have mentioned that. I do have some solar panels.
I said I hear all kinds of things about them, but I really know very little about them other than when they're in calculators and things like that. And I hope that they're good, but like I said, some are anyway, but I've heard some ain't, so I really don't know enough to know much. Hopefully between what they do Saturday evening and the rag shoot part of that and some I've heard from you, maybe I can learn more about it. I wish KD4USA was still here. He was talking about it a lot, it and the wind. Well, he had a wind, some kind of wind generator set up as well up there, but he's in the Philippines now, as Dave said, and he probably won't ever be back.
Philippines is a nice place, but there's no place like home. Anyway, I got my solar panels in a deal for, what should I say? I'm looking at it. It's a battery pack, just to put it as simply as I can. It's a rechargeable battery pack that is rechargeable with the solar panels, or you can plug it into house current and recharge the batteries, and in that event you've got, I don't know what the specs are on it. I suppose if you were using a QRP radio, that's nothing more than 5 watts, could last you maybe a couple of days of constant use. It's substantial. But it was cheap, and I'm proud to have it. It's the emergency power that I use. I'm on it right now. The question wasn't about what do you do with a solar panel, but if you're utilizing a solar panel, electrically speaking, the charging voltage is something around 15 volts, and that's unsuitable to run right into your radio. So you must have something similar to a battery. 12 or, as we know, 3.8-volt battery for the radio. The solar panels recharge the battery. I think that's common between... is that how you understood it?
That's a general idea of how I understand it. But like I said, when we're talking all this, we're in the things that I'm way above my head at right now anyway.
Yeah, we're talking about many other things that be above my head, but if you're interested in it, it doesn't matter how complicated it is, just take it slow. Take it as it comes. Understand it as you can. And you pick up the special words, everybody is clueless about some things, Andy. everybody. And I look around me, and I'm clueless about a lot of things. The fun of living this life, if you want to just talk about the fun now, the fun of living this life is continually learning something. You know, things you're interested in. And you might have to kick a few tires, as they say. You might have to see what it's about before you know whether you're going to be interested, whether it would be useful even to you. And that's just part of the fun, you know. And amateur radio is a really big hobby. But basically, it's going to include a radio of some kind. That's probably safe to say. Now, the radio has requirements. One of them, of course, is power. And so that's why any amateur might be interested in various kinds of power. If you're working on commercial power, you know, what you pay the electric company for, plug it in, turn it on, that's one thing, and that's okay. But when everything goes dark, if you still want to operate your radio, if you think there's a time when that's something you would desire to do, the time to learn about it is before you need it. That makes sense, right? KK4JBQ.
Well, LZI, I grant you that, but I'm a nobody when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like we was talking to other parties there earlier. Now, I don't know how they do it, but all these people that's got the ones they must use for the whole household that's up on the roofs, how in the world do they not end up with hail that not destroying them?
I've been in a hailstorm that was the size of my fist. Now, that's dangerous hail. And it did a lot of damage. The roof had to be replaced. The car had to be repaired because it was sitting out in the driveway. Yeah, that is a force of nature. And we know how it's made. You know how big hailstones are made in the atmosphere. We know they come straight down. And with some serious force. I was in the house at the time, and it was just awesome. Your house was being beaten, you know, and big pieces flying off of it. With large hail, every one of them was bigger than a cue ball, you know, a pool. You got a sense of that, right? The size of a pool cue ball. Tennis ball is about the same size. So some of them were larger than that, the size of my fist. And those things hit the ground or hit the house, and it's just an awful sound, truly an awful sound. And you just know when you hear something like that, you look out, you can see the hailstones bouncing on the ground. They come down so hard they bounce. It's just ice. It's hard ice. And it does some damage. So solar panels on the roof. I suppose one can purchase insurance, which would make you whole again, but you would pay a little bit right along. And if you never got a hailstorm, okay, you were covered anyway. But right where I live, there have been, in the 20, coming up on 25 years we've lived here, we've had 3 hailstorms, significant, and other little ones. So maybe that's not too often. Everything, you know, if you've ever wondered about insurance, it's all based on what the risk is. How often do they occur in the past? You know, that's something that's just a matter of record. And maybe that suggests how often they might occur in the future. Maybe that's all you have to go on. And you base your decision on that. But otherwise, the panels themselves are made of material that doesn't shatter easily. That will give a little, you know. If it were just glass, and it appears to be, I know that, but it's a polycarbonate of some kind that will stand up to ultraviolet and not fade into blocking a lot of the light that the solar cells inside the panel will need in order to make electricity. You know, you block that with you've seen plastic that's gone all dingy, you know. Well, not much light gets through that. So your choice of materials is important. The panels that I have are portable. They fold up. There's three different panels, and they fold up into something like a little satchel. It's really kind of cool. You unfold them, and it trickles a charge into the battery as you take it out of the battery during your radio activation. It's as simple as that. Now, I know it's terribly complicated, but the process is just that simple. KK4JBQ.
4L's the guy. Well, up here, up next to the mountains in the summer, we have a lot of hail at times and some of these isolated severe storms.
Wherever you are and whatever you fear, there's probably other places that have it worse. I've lived a good many places on this continent now. I've not been overseas. Not to say that I wouldn't like to, but I gave up flying a long time ago. And things just got worse anyway. So I'm not going to be on an airplane, and I suppose a cruise on a ship, you know, that has dangers too. Ships can't sink. And, wherever you live, there are, risks. Hail might be one, tornadoes another, hurricanes, oh boy, that's a big one. And, the general climate in the region where you are, whether it's generally way below zero, think of, I forget his name, up there in South Dakota, where they have to be concerned about not just what's coming from the sky, but it gets so cold that the ground heaves, you know. It can push a house off its foundation. And just have to be careful where you locate that house. You know, being smart is how human beings adapted to many places. There's not a continent, I'm sure of this, there's not a continent in the world, even Antarctica and up around the Arctic Circle. Humans live there. They don't play tennis, but they live there. KK4JBQ.
KI4LCI, I remember you talking about up in Michigan having to climb out through the windows and some others having to dig you out. I remember hearing that. That's a little too much.
It was a surprise to me. I'd never been that far north before, and this moved in on a Thursday, and Friday night into Saturday morning, it just snowed and snowed and snowed. And of course, the other thing, which is wind. Wind will cause the snow that's already fallen on the ground to move. The wind would blow in a certain direction, and we just happened to be in a sweet spot where it covered up the front door, it drifted. That's, you know, wind-blown snow is a drift. And so it drifted over the front door, and it drifted over the back door. And the only thing, the only exit left was the windows. And it wasn't me that jumped out of the window. No, sir. It was a little 12-year-old boy next door. And he came out of that window with a snow shovel. And I talked to his mama later, and she says, well, he was going to shovel ours. And I thought, well, he's a strong little boy, and he was all excited to dig you out, too, since you just moved in. It was nice, you know, such a nice thing. I opened the door before he had, he did that very heroic thing, and all I could see was snow. Never seen that before, you know, never. Open the door, and it's a solid white, you know, like you're buried in snow. And then I went to the back door, the same thing. It had drifted up over the top of the door. Yeah, so I got to know that family. His name was Joey. And he had a sister, younger sister, Sandra. I don't remember the mama's name, but they lived there for a couple of years, and they'd seen snowfall like that, but I had never seen anything like it. KK4, JPQ.
4L's a guy. Well, like I said, that up there is something I sure don't want to. Listen, I don't know if you ever knew W8KBW Max. Dave knew him, but I don't know that you did. Was ever in the hobby soon enough to know Max. He was over here with us for a long, long time over here in Pickens County, and finally he went back to Michigan. Mainly because that's where most of his family had grown. His family had grown up to, and some of them come down here, then he come down here for a while. And when I got my license in 05, he and W4TWX went out to the Pickens flea market a lot. Well, he went back up to Michigan now, and that's where he's at now, I tell you. I've heard of people up there, when they get age on due to all that kind of snow that deep, like you was talking about having heart attacks.
Matthew, if you make a bad decision, and all factors weigh in any decision that you make, if you make a bad decision, you can put your life at risk with, especially with Mama Nature. She does not give any quarter. She's serious whenever she throws a snowstorm at you, hailstorm, flood. I mean, you know, I've never seen that. You know, water 3 feet up the wall in the house. But people live everywhere, as I said before. And there's some threat, no matter where you choose to call home. It could be an earthquake. And those are kind of random, you know. There are known hot spots for earthquakes, and people don't build on the San Andreas Fault, for instance. They don't build on that fault. But just, you know, 100 miles away, you might think yourself safe. Here in the east, there's not a great deal of earthquake activity, but there's one fault line here in the east. Starts with an M, and I can't remember what that is. Anyway. So, just enjoy life wherever you are. Live with the decision that you make. I lived a long time right where I was born, you know. And then I took off. And I lived many different places. Lived in Florida for a while, and the first time I took a shower, I didn't like the sulfur in the water that everybody else had gotten used to. Oh, my goodness. Hot sulfur in water. Awful. And then I moved over to New Orleans. And New Orleans is about, in most places, it's no more than a foot above sea level. You can dig a hole, and it's water down there. They have to bury people on top of the ground in tombs, in crypts. Then I went to Arizona, and Arizona is hot as the dickens and unforgiving. You better have water with you. Even if you took a drink of water not long ago, you're going to get thirsty pretty quick. It's hot in Arizona, within Phoenix. Every place, whether it's snow or heat or earthquake or flood or, if you're happy where you are, just stick around, Live your life. KK4JBQ.
Isolated storms up here. A lot of times it's severe. We get hail, and there has been a tornado or two back off up in here at times, too, over the past few summers up in here. One of them took the K9OH machine up there on the mountain down one time. Let's see, this was about, I can't remember what. It's been up there about since 2010. So it had to have been, I can't remember the exact year, but it was probably maybe eight or 10 years ago, somewhere in that range.
That too, Andy. I don't know what weather event took it down, but That's a risk, You take a risk getting up in the morning, Just generally speaking, you take a risk whenever you get up in the morning. And you have to calculate whether you wish to risk doing what you want to do or staying in bed. Now, I'm just starting at the beginning. That's what I'm saying. Just when you get up in the morning, open your eyes. Most people don't go around with some kind of fear that, something's going to get them. But everybody has a day. And we know that to be true. Everybody has a day, and they're going to be leaving here. The hereafter is, maybe that's what should be considered more than anything else. Everybody's kind of making up their own ticket. Where are you going to go? we shouldn't talk about that. So, anyway. So, you have considered getting some solar panels, maybe putting them on your roof? Is that what you're saying?
Not right now. I just want to learn more about it, for starters. I heard they want to learn more about it, about all this. All those solar panels like it you put on the roof of a place, I know they're not given to you. And if they're prone to hail destroying them, oh, man, the way it sometimes hails up here, heck, you might go through 2 or 3 cents probably in 6 or 7 years' time.
Yeah. There's different approaches. The approach that I have is one that I can, as I said, it folds up. It's no bigger than a briefcase. And best I can remember, I haven't had it out in a while, best I can remember, it folds once and then it folds three times the other way. So I guess there's six panels in this. And it's sufficient with good sun to keep the battery charged. And the radio expects direct current, you see. Now, it's a whole nother animal when you want to, say, run devices in the house, which require alternating current. In that event, you need an inverter to go from DC to AC. And if you're talking about running the house full-time or part-time, and when you lose commercial power, something like that, then you'll need an inverter. And because the demand is pretty great on many things in the house, oh, think about your refrigerator, your electric stove, your electric dryer for the laundry, you know, washer and dryer. They take quite a bit. Now, panels, of course, but you've got a roof covered with panels, and your location, how much sun you get during a given day in a given season, because you're going to, you know, even South Carolina, there are some choice places to get sun most year-round, you know, year-round. A little south of here, let's say in the capital city, in Columbia, they get a lot more sun than we do. And there's a lot of sand there, too, as I understand it. That's the sand hills. And so Columbia stays warmer. If you like nice, warm air, high 80s and 90s, practically all summer long. Yeah, Columbia is the place for you. But it takes planning. I know you're probably not interested in whole house solar, but even with emergency power for your radio, you got to consider how much capacity you wish to purchase, you know. And that'll depend on the battery you want to charge. I'm not sure what the watt hours, that's how they're rated. I'm not sure what the watt hour is on this this thing that I have. Anyway, it's kind of nice. It has an inverter in it that will go from 12 volts to 5 volts for, you know, charging devices like your phone and things like that. And that's, I think, at a maximum of 5 amps. But the radio, there's outputs for 20 amp source and for even 40 amp sources. That's pulling it out pretty quick. And if you pull it out quick, you've got to put it in quick, you know. A battery is it's like a bucket, you know. You put a hole in the bucket, and it's going to drain out. If you're not filling it at the top, it'll soon run dry. Batteries are like that. So that's what this solar panel does. It puts it in as you take it out. And it works good. KK4JBQ.
4L's the guy. Well, on this particular topic, I'm ignorant as can be about it. I've seen places around where they've got these, like I said, about the solar panels on the roof like that. And I don't see how in the world every time they get a hailstorm, especially if I back off up in here in this part of Pickens County, should be up in here high in the world or not replacing them all the time. Because in some of these summer storms, we'll have hail. You can almost bet on it.
Everything is a toss-up, you know? Everything is a risk. A risk of something, you know? something that would damage whatever you're talking about. Those panels can be damaged by hail, of course. They're sealed up pretty good against water, but water and electricity of any kind does not mix. But as I said, the face of them, the panels, the solar cells are not exposed, you know. They're behind a protected panel. I suggested that perhaps it's polycarbonate, which has a great deal of resistance to impact. That's the same kind of stuff that is bulletproof, you know. And no hailstone can match the velocity and of the impact of a bullet. That's usually pretty thick, you know. And solar panels are not quite that thick, but, you know, inexpensive ones might not be as capable of withstanding a hailstorm, a really good hailstorm. But you could have ready, I know another ham who has, not on the roof now, but it's not very far from the ground. You know, your roof is not very far from the ground. And before you place, you can't move the roof. Seriously, you can't move the roof. It's where it is, it's where it's going to stay. But if you wanted to get a better angle on the sun, and that kind of study is necessary before you install, you have to know where the sun tracks so that you get the greatest exposure onto the panel. So you've worked that out, and then you can build a frame angled to the ground so that rain runs off and stuff like that. But the frame can be on the ground. It doesn't have to be on your roof. So there you are. So this, the other ham I'm speaking of has solar panels. He's had them there for, I've known him for a dozen years or more. And they're in fine shape. And I don't know if they have a life expectancy. Maybe they do. They'll only, you know, work for so long. I don't know about that part. That might be a question that you could get into. How long do they last? The word coming back won't be indefinite. It won't be forever. So, you see, there's different kinds of the solar cells. The part of it that does the work. There are different kinds of that. And the more expensive kind, of course, might be more efficient, might last longer, too. Those are questions that you might want to ask. Anyhow, it's a topic that I'm glad you're interested in. There are some drawbacks, of course. But there's drawbacks in deciding to get up in the morning. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, well, when it comes to such as that about the drawbacks, you know, the cost plays a part in it, too.
It follows the general rule. And you've heard this all your life. Cost has a general rule, and that is you get what you pay for, if you're smart. Some people pay a lot more than they should for something that's not going to serve them very well. The way you get around that is to educate yourself on the product, on your use, your particular use of it, of course. That's going to change between individuals. Some people use things hard, and they need something that'll hold up to hard use. Some people are, you know, very light users of whatever they have. I have a phone that's Oh, I guess it's going on 10 or 12 years now. I don't use it hard. The battery still works. It still charges. I've been fortunate in that regard. So, you have to balance all those factors, you know. But you do, in the end, get what you pay for. And solar is not, it's not terribly cheap. Can't be considered as something that's cheap. So if you're going to spend a little on it, then do the best you can in selecting the right thing for you. Not for everybody, not for your neighbor, not for me, but for you. But that kind of thinking goes, that's practically everything, you know. And I could give examples, but you know what I'm talking about. KK4JBQ.